The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ken McCusick is in studio. Ken, the question that everybody wants to ask you, first of all, welcome.
How you doing, Rob?
I always enjoy having you here on Tuesdays. The question that everyone wants is the one that no one can answer unless you're Eric DeCosta. Maybe he can't even answer it. Will the Ravens make a trade before the trade deadline today? And if so, rank the importance in terms of the priority, the positions of need.
Sure. So there are several, and I've kind of gone back and forth between the safety position, which they've had a lot of problems with, but they had a little bit of good play. Some good news this last week in terms of both Marcus Williams and Ardarius Washington looking good on the back end. I still think they could use a safety. They can go cheap if they need to. Interior defensive line, though, would be my number one position right now. And I think the big name out there is Calais Campbell. That would be cheap at the end of his career. Perfect. Get him a ring. Get him out of here, hopefully. There's others they could get. Quandre Diggs would be a guy who's still around, still available. There's another name. Tashawn Gibson would be another safety they could go after. And, of course, Jadeveon Clowney, don't have any problem with any depth at edge, but I think any kind of a large expensive contract at edge is going to have kind of diminished returns relative to some other positions because they've already got good edges. So the question is, do you want a great edge to replace a good edge, or do you want a some more depth maybe?
Sounds like we're in a black salon, man. You want to take care of the edges.
that's what they do in there?
That's what they do, yeah.
That's why I've seen that in the barbershop when they take care of the edge.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, I was concerned because the Ravens have such a great rushing defense this season. However, they are beat up in the interior now, so I was very concerned. The Bengals, they suck on offense as far as running the ball. Joe Burrow is great, but they can't run the ball worth anything. Is this a problem for this game?
Still a problem because the interior defensive line for the Ravens has typically driven the pass rush. Mm-hmm. So they have Matabike, everybody knows about that, but Travis Jones is really the guy who commands double teams and drives the pass rush from the inside. He's got one sack this year, and nobody really knows. But if you look back to 2014, Ravens, very similar relationship with Pernell McPhee. Travis Jones, the last time we saw him on the field, couldn't even push off on that foot.
Yeah.
So we'll see what's going on. But I hope he didn't play any snaps this last week, and I hope he's going to be ready to play Thursday, which is probably a complete pipe dream.
Well, let's get to the big headline there. Another perfect passer rating for Lamar. I heard the Broncos saying they wanted to take away the run game when they got here. Was it 28 yards in the first half? The only problem is he was perfect. I don't know what else you could say about it.
They pressured him very effectively. They had seven pressures, which is okay. And he only had ample time and space, a 3-second pocket, three times the whole day out of 20 passes in total, 20 passes plus sacks that they threw. And he just outperformed in every way and by a total of 159 yards. To give you an idea, to put that in perspective, he outperformed his expectation for his opportunity set by 8 yards per pass.
Wow.
8 yards per pass.
That's unreal.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yes, it is unreal. Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Got to check out the website.
Well, since we're on the, we're talking mostly defense right now. I mean, you mentioned pass rushers. But you keep hearing about them being interested in corners.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we could use some help in the secondary. But my feeling is, I always think, as they say, a good pass rush makes the secondary better. I never hear the secondary makes a pass rush better. And you can always avoid throwing at a Darrell Revis. You get a premier. Don't throw his way. Mm-hmm. You can't avoid, you know, TJ Watt or Joey Bosa, though. You can't avoid a good pass rusher. Who do you think is more important right now?
Right now, Brandon Stevens is not playing well. And so he's given up a lot of back shoulder throws. He can stay with a guy who can't find
look.
Football in the air.
Yeah, he doesn't turn around.
No, he doesn't look. He tries to play the hands. Yeah. And, you know, there are multiple techniques, but this just isn't working for him right now. And he's being targeted a lot. On the other side, Wiggins isn't targeted at all. So that's good news. He was only targeted one time in this last game. Humphrey is rarely targeted. So it only takes one, though, at cornerback, and you could be in a lot of trouble. Now, it's not like I don't agree with you that a pass rush would be good, but if I look at the 2000 Ravens, were 22nd in sacks in the league. The 2012 Ravens were 16th in sacks in the league. And the current Ravens are 4th in sacks in the
they
league,
are,
even
I know.
Though...
Yeah.
Or 5th. Yep. 5th, sorry. 5th, I think.
Yeah, 5th, right there, 5th. There's a couple of... Yeah.
Well, a lot of wide receivers we can talk about. I just want to focus on the guy they got in Deontay Johnson. 17 snaps, no targets. Did see him out there blocking on a couple plays, which was nice. At some point, we start... Because when Nelson Aguilar made the big pass play, I'm going... Okay, he's still in the mix, but this guy's got to pick up the playbook, and you'll start to slowly see him more and more out there. What were your thoughts? I know there's not much to it, but first off, the trade, and then, of course, this.
I'm okay with the trade because I think it's mostly a depth and insurance move. It's if anything happens to Bateman or Flowers, then they have a backup for him. I know everybody, it's always sacrilege to bash any receiver that everybody wants so badly because he's a name receiver from a few years ago. He's got 6.8 career yards per target. It's just not exciting. He hasn't played with good quarterbacks. He was 6.2 this year. He's certainly not an exciting player. What I liked is that he's doing a lot of the motioning pre-snap, which means he might take more of Flowers' gadget role and misdirection role, and that will free Flowers for some of the longer A-dot
plays. Stuff that Rob wants to see.
That's right.
There you go, Rob.
There you go. Ball downfield. 410-583-1057 if you have a question for Ken McCusick, and I know we certainly do as well. This defense was played pretty good on Sunday, Ken. Was it a change in scheme, or did the players just step up? We'll talk about that up next right here on The Fan. Ladarius Smith is going to the Detroit Lions. This just then, breaking news.
Damn.
Ladarius Smith goes to the Detroit Lions. Ken McCusick from Film Study Baltimore.com joins us.
It's funny, when you asked that question before about who in the AFC that I didn't want to see to make a move, and the first thing in my head was I didn't want to see the Lions, but it was NFC.
Right.
Because they're really good, and that just made them better.
But you won't face them till the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah.
Ken McCusick joins us. Ken, the Ravens gave up 10 points on Sunday. For the first time in a while, the defense with the league didn't give up anything. Stingy in the second half. Was that scheme or players stepping up?
So,
or none of the above?
Unfortunately, my kind of snarky answer to that is that it was a lot of Bo Nix really not playing very well. They gave Bo Nix an unbelievable opportunity set, 22 ample time and space opportunities, 58% of the time, which is a season high. In fact, it's been highest I've charted in many years. And he ended up undershooting his yards by about 61. We saw most of that go flying over the receivers' heads open in the end zone. It's not like the Ravens did nothing positive in this game, but they allowed Nix forever in the pocket. And I think it's a pretty good indication for the secondary that they were being fairly sticky in this game, that they only gave up the yards they did. It's not a good sign for the pass rush at all.
Right now, I mean, you mentioned before they're 5th in sacks in the league, which I was surprised. I had to see that yesterday prepping for Monday Morning Quarterback. Like, wow, I had no idea it was still up there. How are they doing this right now? It's because we don't have, you know, McDonald anymore. And, you know, and Pease is the least aggressive signal caller I've seen in his team in 20 years. Mm-hmm. So how are they doing this?
So, first of all, they had 4 sacks this last game. All 4 sacks came after a 3-second pocket.
Coverage
which
sacks.
I've never seen before. Yeah. Never seen before in one game. So they have that. They're getting really very little in the way they're doing with either numbers or with schemed up pressure. So most of they're still riding on some early season sack totals that they had. They had 4 this last game, but they had 2 the game before. Frankly, it's been pretty level, I guess, the whole year with a bunch of 3s and 1-5. I don't have a good answer for you, I think. I'm struggling
to find
it.
I'm curious myself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Ken, what about the offensive line? Is this something where, just looking at some of your grades, should we be giving Lamar way more credit than we do for his ability to create extra time and you know, keep plays going and keep it alive down the field? Because it seems like these receivers have continued to work even after he gets out of the pocket.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely Lamar deserves a ton of credit. And 2 plays this last week He ended up drifting all the way to the sideline before he threw it away. And two plays ended up defensive holding developed during the time that was happening. So that was great in its own right. But I'll just go through the offensive line quickly here since you mentioned that. Stanley had an A in this game, only one negative event, a pressure. Showing a lot of mobility in level two, that's good to see Ronnie back to that. But he had a really bad game last week. There is a lot of variation week to week. This happened to be a very good week. McCary, a D in this game. Two offensive holding calls were the big things. Frankly, he was outside the tackle box, blocking on screen passes. Looked like there could have been more offensive holdings called than just those two in the game. He looked very grabby. Linderbaum, a B. Looked good in general. Six blocks in level two, three pancakes. Nice, good mobility there. Daniel Fa'alele had a C in this game. Eight level two blocks were his big thing. The effort is there. He's running way downfield. He's not very decisive in level two at trying to find the guy and pick him out and block him. And then Rosengart was the one guy who got beat for a bunch of pressures in this game. He ended up with a D. He gave up two-thirds of that first sack, the only sack that they had. He had four other pressure events and a part of a penetration as well.
Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com, joining us. Ken, Ravens coming off a bad loss the week before in Cleveland. This is a week-to-week league, so what do you learn about the Ravens in week 9 of the National Football League season?
Yeah, sadly, I don't think they can repeat the formula they just won by, which is really sad to say. They can try to run and probably have more success, and they can try and pass and probably have less success. But on defense, I think that they're going to need to scheme more against Burrow and take more risk for higher variance on defense. I think they need to embrace that. And
Take more risks.
Yeah, oh yeah, take more risks. Yeah. Defense needs to take risk in general. They need to seek out variance. And DNP's is the wrong guy. I mean, the guy want in Orr's ear to take more risk is either Wink Martindale or Rex Ryan. Those are the two guys.
That move pissed me off so much. She's like, why would you do this?
From day one.
He's the king of the prevent defense.
Yeah. Dean P's in a house that's on fire. Well, wait a minute. Let's see what happens before we get out of here. It's just a little bit of smoke now. It's just like, I didn't understand that at all either.
It really drives me crazy. How about, I know we talked about a weakness. There's one guy I think is a bright spot. It's a guy I don't think people thought would ever make the team because he's so undersized, was our Darius Washington. He stepped up.
Looked great in this last game. Was only thrown at twice. The first time he picked off the ball that was tipped, which is really nice because he's had some balls on his hands this year, hasn't converted. And the second time he stripped the receiver for a pass defense. Then he came through with the big tackle. It's not a big tackle in game terms. The score was 41-10 at the time, but he kept him out of the end zone on Denver's final offensive play with a tackle at the 1 yard line. Just really nice to see him put together a game that way. He's clearly won Jackson's spot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Harbaugh actually said that in as many words yesterday, but he says Jackson remains in their plans and Washington played well or something like that. But Washington's clearly the strong safety net. Mm-hmm.
Ken, just to let you know, you're officially a part of the show. You've just been isolated, but go ahead.
let me ask you about Thursday night then. I don't know how much you've got to see of Cincinnati here recently since the Ravens have played them. Defense still very leaky. It's a short week. What are your thoughts on maybe what we see Thursday night?
I think we'll see more of the same. I mean, I think we'll see an attempt to run the ball against the Cincinnati team. I think they'll use all the misdirection that they have in the cupboard. I think they will be prepared to try and win a shootout, and they'll try and do some things, hopefully, to embrace defensive risk and get more pressure on Burrow.
My man Ken McCusick, tell folks in Baltimore about Film Study Baltimore.
I appreciate it, Rob. I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter if you want to follow me, and FilmStudyBaltimore.com has podcasts and articles. An article is out there on the defense with a lot of detail from this game.
Now, tell people you're not watching the TV broadcast again. You're watching from a bird's eye view when you
do. I do both. And the broadcast actually has a lot of value in terms of timing events and having a lot of control over the DVR. So that's it's very valuable, actually, very underrated.
You watch the All 22?
I do both. I do the All 22 in the broadcast.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Ken. 410-583-1057.
I watch the All 23 because I want to be one leg up on you guys. You guys get in. Yeah. Yeah. The sequel.
The sequel?
Yeah.
Wow. 410-583-1057 is the number. Shovels at 845, but on the other side, man, Baltimore Orioles made some moves on Monday. We'll take a look back up next on The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, it was a very interesting day for the Baltimore Orioles yesterday. Now, we'll talk about the guys that came back. One of the top conversations in my circle was Danny Kalum not coming back. How surprised were you about that?
I think initially for me, I don't mean to step over yet. I think initially for me, it was a bit of a surprise until you start looking at things honestly and saying, okay, he's 37 years old. He's had two serious surgeries already. But I didn't think it was a lot of money. That's kind of like, in the grand scheme of things, I didn't think it was a lot of money that I might want to kick the tires on.
35,
excuse me. What did I say, 37?
Yeah, you said that.
No, he looks older. He looks like he's 37.
Yeah, it was a team option for, he made, what, $2.3 million last year.
He's supposed to get $4 million this year?
Right.
Doesn't seem like a lot for a guy that pitched well last year.
I told you I wasn't surprised at all. 2.12 ERA. I think they'd rather spend a little bit more money for a guy that they can control longer than they do for a 35-year-old who's on the hook for 1 year.
Yeah, I agree. And I probably both of you guys. When I first saw it, I'm like, aw, I like that guy.
I did say, oh, I did. I didn't do that, but
we all liked him.
Yeah. And then when I saw, I was like, yeah, I get it. I mean, they have to make decisions to fix the roster.
Well, I know there's a lot of people that don't trust the front office after the trade deadline this year, and I was fine with everything they did. Like, again, I didn't want to.
It was Zach Eflin's sake. Like, why would you? Well, you should turn on the GM.
It's all that stuff. Like, it's not even the Zach Eflin trade. It was more like people talking about the Trevor Rogers trade and what they gave up. Mm-hmm. We'll get to see him this year, and if he looks any better, the bullpen from Philly that we got, and people questioning some of those.
Sir Anthony.
Yeah, and even some of the other pickups that they didn't make the big splash for Tarik Skubal, which you weren't winning with Tarik Skubal anyways, because you couldn't hit in the damn postseason. So I just think that I still trust this front office, and if they're letting a guy like Kalum walk, they have their reasons why. I am curious to see if they do a little bit more in the offseason here, if there's some trades that are going to happen, because there are log jams on this team that they have to figure out. They made the qualifying offer to Santander and Corbin Burns, which now that'll give you two first-round picks at the end of that for the competitive balance picks, and you can trade those. We were just talking about that earlier off the air.
Yeah. Were you surprised that they kept Perez?
Not really. I mean, like, again, talking about Kalum, I feel like they like some of the lefties they have, right? And again, it may have been a little bit more expendable there at that point. But no, I'm not surprised that they kept him. They like, and again, Cienel Perez is one of those guys, it's cyclical in the bullpen. You don't know when they're going to come out and have that monster year, because he's clearly done it. So is Kalum. Like, next year, Kalum could get blown up for all we know.
Here's the thing. You look at the numbers and you say, well, Kalum had better numbers. Why not keep him? And you're right. And again, it goes back to team control. Even with the option, Cienel is not eligible for arbitration there until 2027. So I think that had something to do with it as
well. I think you're right. I think it does. I mean, look, it's pretty clear that they've been building a roster, not that they don't want to win now, but to make this team good for a long time, where they're competitive. They've been to the playoffs 2 years in a row. I think they want to go the next 7 years. So I think this is what they're trying to do, where you build a very young team, you have control over the players, and you have control for quite a while, and you're good for quite a while. And then this just kind of fits with what they've been doing.
And I think, if not everyone, the majority of people are happy with the last one we're going to talk about, keeping Ryan O'Hearn.
Well, all right, so here's my thing with that. It's a lefty bat. Again, like not knowing what happens with Basayo and Rutschman, if Basayo gets called up, why do you need Ryan O'Hearn? Honestly, like, and I'm not, like, I like Ryan O'Hearn, but one of those guys is going to DH when they're not catching. So how many at-bats do you have for him? Is he going to play more outfield? Is he going to play more at first base?
Let me put this out there for you. You hear something there?
I you said catch. Are you talking about McCann or O'Hearn? I mean, O'Hearn's not catching. Who are you talking about?
No. One of them's going to DH.
Right.
If Basayo gets caught up, yes. Either Adley or Basayo's going to DH.
I gotcha.
Or that's what I believe should happen. Now, maybe Basayo gets more days off, but if he starts raking, I'm not telling you they don't need a Ryan O'Hearn. I'm just saying, is there a spot for him?
Let me paint this picture for you. Let's say Basayo is ready. All sides point to him being ready. Either before the end of spring training or sometime, can't you see O'Hearn packaging the deal with someone else to kind of bolster that package a little bit? Here's a guy over the last 2 years with limited at-bats. He's hit 29 home runs and over 120 RBI.
He's been great until he faced left-handed pitching.
But somebody else can use him in that situation, though. If you package him, I'm saying.
I just don't know what you get for a Ryan O'Hearn in a trade.
Packaged.
I know.
Yeah, the booster package.
But again, like, I don't know that that's a sweetener for me. Like, oh, I'm getting this guy that's only a DH, and we only want to hit him against right-handed pitching. But, yeah, you know, look, everybody has a DH now, so there are opportunities for teams. I'm not trying to, like...
You bring a good point. I mean, you know, if Paseo, but what if Paseo's not ready?
Where's Kjærstad playing? Is he your right fielder?
Somebody's getting traded.
That's what I'm saying. Like...
You've already said
you want them to sign Alex Bregman. If that happens, and Jackson Holliday's got to move his ass to the outfield because Jordan Westberg's going to be at second base.
I said last year that Jackson Holliday will play center field. Remember that.
And then you got the right Enrique
Jackson Holliday is going to play center field.
Enrique Bradfield Jr. just took home some hardware from in the minor leagues too, so he's going to be on his way. He's not here anytime soon. It's probably like 2 years away. Mm-hmm. But then you start to talk about Cedric Mullins. What happens there? You love Colton Cowser. He's going to be out there. Is he going to play center for you a good portion? We just have to see who they're bringing back. And again, there's a log jam of what they have. If they don't trust Kjærstad to play right field on an everyday basis, then what are we doing? Because he's your DH, or it's Basayo, or it's, you know, and he's a left-handed bat. So is Ryan O'Hearn. That's why I don't understand it.
But the one thing that we do have is this. These are all major league level players.
No question.
That's the great thing about it, Jeremy. We're trying to figure out where major league level players are going to play every day.
So to be fair, too, I'm looking at this. My eyes are looking at years past and what's happened, and I don't know what this ownership's going to do. Giving $8 million to a guy that I don't see playing a ton is like, is that a good idea? Especially when you let a middle reliever go, or a relief pitcher for $4 million because of his age and the injuries and all that. I don't know. I don't know that there's a spot for him. I don't want to say on a regular basis, but even a part-time basis, but we shall see.
I like O'Hearn when there's like bench clearing brawls.
I love O'Hearn. I think he's great. It's just, do you have a spot
for him? I think
we
need him for that.
Well, if that's the case, you need your backup catcher.
Oh, McCann too. 100%. Absolutely.
I don't see McCann coming back.
He's not coming back.
Unless they think Basayo's not ready, but he's breaking at AAA. And, oh, by the way, he might be a better defensive catcher. I think he is, than Adley. So, do with that what you will, or think
I mean,
about
I don't
what
know.
You will.
I don't know. I'm always, you know how I am with minor league players. They're all prospects. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I mean, Jackson Holliday was supposed to come up and step right in, and that didn't happen. So
I mean, he hit 5 bombs in limited at-bats this year.
Later.
Too. Yeah.
Second go-around, yeah.
410-583-1057 is the number.
Did you see Jim?
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Jim Bowden? No, it was, I think it was John Heyman that said he expected the Orioles to be in on Juan Soto. Was it Heyman or another?
Several people said that. Several people have said that.
Mad Dog. Oh, wait, working blue here? Yeah, Mad Dog said it. Then never mind.
Why would you not want to go after a Gold Glove candidate in right field?
Well, it's true.
If you lose Santander, that's a nice little consolation prize to get Juan Soto.
The bad news is we've lost Santander. The good news is this guy named Juan Soto will be in right field.
We brought in the butcher out there in right. Oh, he's a Gold Glove candidate? Why? For what? How did that happen? Hey, show me his great plays.
Hey, Jeremy, if they sign him, he'll have a different tune over there.
He's the best in right field. You guys can't stop him. Gold Glove all the way, Soto!
He's just singing a totally different tune over there.
I mean, look, the guy, we can say what we want about him in the outfield. He might be the best hitter in all of baseball. Yeah. I mean, there's a, when you talk about power and average.
Might be. I think they're going to spend some money this year. That's separate from the whole Juan Soto thing, Ed. I think they might be in on Alex Bregman. I think they may be in on another veteran hitter.
Because that's kind of what they need, though, right?
And a veteran pitcher, yeah. I think they're going to spend some money this offseason.
It should be an interesting offseason because I think it's going to be unlike what we used to.
So, all right, let me throw this to you real quick. If they don't spend money, how disappointed will you be?
Very disappointed. Very.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Paul in Baltimore. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. I just want to say how much I enjoyed the show and secondly, how knowledgeable you guys are about so many different things.
Thank you.
I feel like when I listen, I'm hearing information that is not only true when it's more than opinion. It just amazes me, again, how much you all know about sports, whether it's baseball, football, hockey, and I think it's awesome.
So I really appreciate that. I try to carry these guys and help them out as much as I can. But, you know, they do fine on their own. It's
You had something on Monday Moves, Paul?
Well, I'm not a coach, but I do think from a pitching standpoint, I would have liked to seen Colon come back.
I get that.
He offers some steadiness, and he pitched really well this year until they got hurt. But again, I'm not running the team, so I'll let the people that know how to do it make the decisions.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, you know,
I'm glad, you know, he doesn't talk to other people who say we don't know anything about football.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it happens. But I want to, like, to his point, though, about
the station when we talk football,
the different moves that they can make and the different way to attack this offseason. So if they want to go out and spend money, if they want to make trades, you have trade capital right now with these prospects that you have, and they still have a bunch of great ones that they could move. We just have to wait and see.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Kevin Willard joins us at 9:00. I can't wait for that. But on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
We are. I'm going to give it to the man who may be the worst reader of a room in the history of rooms.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota. And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com. 1057 The Fan.
Time to give out a shovel. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text. 410-583-1057. Hit us up at BBMS1057 The Fan. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel today?
The man who couldn't read a room. We were talking about college football as we opened this earlier in the show. I'm talking about some of the games this weekend, obviously, and all that. And Rob pointed out that I was actually in Florida. I was in Sarasota watching the Florida-Georgia game. And if you followed this weekend's football, Florida had a lead at halftime. And it was like, you know, and they're not ranked, and Georgia's number 2 in the country and all that. So it's, you know, really unlikely to see that. It was very surprising. And again, I was in Florida. People going crazy. And of course, you know, tons of people in their Gator gear and the blue sweatshirts, orange letters everywhere and wearing the colors. And it was, you know, people came out just to watch this game. If you know the sport, you know it's a huge rivalry. You know, it's the world's largest what?
Outdoor cocktail party.
Outdoor cocktail party.
Can't call it that.
You can. Anyway, place is packed. We're all going. I was texting you guys, talking how fun it was and exciting it was to watch, you know, the intensity of college football down in the South. In the middle of this, guy walks in. His wife sits down and asks the bartender if he should put on the Michigan game. Yeah, I kid you not.
What an idiot.
At least he didn't ask him to put on the dog show.
Whatever. I mean, you walk into a place where everybody is wearing Gator gear. Everybody. He walks in, he sits down, he goes, hey, could you put on the Michigan game?
You mean no self-awareness?
I'm mad at the bartender.
Because they didn't do it.
No, you do it and then you video it to see how angry everybody gets at this a-hole to show him you're a moron. You don't come in and request that. Go somewhere else.
Very funny. You talk about a shaking your head moment. I'm like, oh, God, dude.
He's not going to do...
You're lucky people aren't going to get, you know, violent here. Like, God.
My shovel...
Jimmy Kahn.
...goes to Alex Caruso. Now, not the guy that... formerly of the Bulls that's playing for the Thunder that went to Texas A&M. Not that Alex Caruso. This guy works for ESPN. He's a gambling guy. And I usually don't take shots at other gambling guys until you realize how much they lie and they're full of it. But this cat said, Trump money line is the best bet you can make on the election. That's not what I'm upset about. He then said the favorite has won 43 out of 40 times on the presidential elections of all time. You tell me, did you bet James Monroe to beat Rufus King, you dumbass? You think they were gambling on the presidency in the 1800s? Rutherford B. Hayes beat Samuel Tilden? Yes, I won! Why do you make it up?
It's on ESPN.
Yeah, and it's made up, and it's a lie, so he can promote another site that you can go bet the election on, and then, thank God, community notes.
Why'd you pull out Samuel Tilden? He lost the presidential election.
Yeah. I looked this stuff up.
That was my neighborhood high school. That's all right. Tilden.
I have no idea who the hell that guy is. But this is the first year which odds have been given on U.S. presidential election. We've seen it last year. There was some stuff on offshore books, not a lot of domestics. And that's what happens. When I say offshore, it doesn't mean the FanDuel, the DraftKings. These are the smaller sites that you can still do a lot of creepy stuff on there and betting weird things. But, why make this up? Why go online and say 40? Like, you had to. You didn't see it somewhere. You just lied about it. The guy works for ESPN, and they don't care that he's pushing this nonsense. He sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. I was out watching the game Sunday. I was going to give my shovel to a guy who called Dr. Leanne Curl the team nurse.
What?
Yeah. When she got knocked down. They knocked down the team nurse.
Who said that?
Some guy who was sitting out with me. I don't know him. No. I was going to give him the show, but I'm not. Because earlier today, while we were talking about possible Ravens trade candidates, my buddy from high school, I don't want to give his name, but I will, Arvin Webb, texted and said they should sign Ndamukong Suh. Give him the show, please. They should sign Ndamukong Suh. I said, you do realize he hadn't played since 2022, like 37 years old. Yeah, but they need a pass rush. I said, Arvin, tell me you're joking. No, I'm not joking. He can help. His legs are fresh.
So are mine.
He graduated from high school with me, Ed.
He did. Yeah, but you didn't say he was 22 when he graduated.
Or where he was in the class.
He graduated from high school with me, and he wants Ndamukong Suh to the Baltimore Ravens. The good thing about it, Arvin, now that I've given you the shovel and said that out loud, somewhere in Baltimore listening to us, someone's agreeing with you.
Hey.
So you're not alone.
Well, he's not wrong.
Someone's saying, you know what? I never thought about that. And they're now having a conversation amongst themselves.
So you should pick up Alan Page.
Wait,
wow.
You know what? But you're making fun of this guy, and he's not wrong. So, like, if I'm looking at, you know, Ndamukong Suh's last year in the league, he was with Philadelphia. He played 8 games, which just happens to be, you know, right near what you have left, right? And he had a sack. So if you want one more sack, go get Ndamukong Suh, because he can probably get you one in your next 8 games.
Get one.
That one is going to be worth it.
Not so sure about that either.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah. Arvin. He's stupid. Yeah. Jack just hit me up on Facebook. Get Bruce Laird, too. He's a hitter.
That white boy can run.
Bruce Lehner's the best.
410-583.
Let's run into him.
1057. Let's go to Owings Mills and get Mark. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I feel like every year when it comes to a trade deadline, we're talking about this Ravens needing an edge rusher. And it's been since Terrell Suggs. So it's been, like Paul Kruger brought up earlier, is he a stand-up guy? Is he a hand-in-the-dirt guy? He's got to pick up weight. He's got to trim down. And it's been like Adelis Thomas, the same type of guy. And then end of their rookie contract, it's, oh, they finally get it, and then we got to let him go. And we, you know, Sergio Kindle, a second-round guy, we missed.
He fell down the stairs. Oh, wait,
he lived in a lighthouse. There's a lot of stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sergio.
Yeah, it was dark.
It's dark in the lighthouse.
Lost your train of thought, Mark. I know. Happens to me every day, bro.
Every day.
But all right. But so he's naming players who aren't dominant pass rushes with the Ravens, and he's right about that. However, the Ravens have been able to scheme their way. Weren't they number one in sacks last year?
Yeah.
So they may not have had
the triple crown.
Terrell Suggs guy, but they haven't had problems getting to the quarterback. I think we as fans just want that guy.
There's a trade they can make. Trade for Mike McDonald. Bring his ass back. Send somebody else over there. But the thing with pass rushers, you know it as well as I do. Every once in a while you get lucky on a project and it pans out. If we talked about the best pass rushers in the league, and it's routinely brought up as who? The Bosas, TJ Watt, Micah Parsons,
the early guys drafted.
Yeah. They get drafted in the top 10.
Yeah.
If you want one of those guys, you got to lose or trade up to go get them, which means you're mortgaging part of your future, because a lot of great pass rushers don't hit the open market because teams sign them or trade them to a team that signs them.
Yeah. Daily Line at 9:15, but on the other side, going to talk some Terps hoops with the boss. Kevin Willett joins us up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.